Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
12:04 is the time, and it is time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Donnie Football with you solo on this Football Friday. Bob Pompiani not normally in on Fridays, and our guy Joe Starkey up with family this weekend in Buffalo, so keep your thoughts with him. He is supposed to be back on Monday. We go back out to the fan hotline, as we always do, Fridays around noon. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And on that fan hotline, we find Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays from 3 to 7. And You Bet or You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays, 11 to 1 p.m., leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Nick, first, a congrats to your New York Yankees on moving on. I know you may have been sweating that game out a little bit, but from an outsider's view, it looked like it was over in the, third or fourth inning? Is that when they broke through for the four runs? That game was over.
Well, and Donnie, great to be on with you. The Red Sox defense was so bad last night, and Cam Schlittler was so awesome. First pitcher in the history of the Major League Baseball postseason. Like, the history of the baseball playoffs. 8 innings, no runs, at least 12 strikeouts, no walks. Absolutely dominant. As a lifelong Yankee fan, absolutely loved it to beat the Red Sox, advance in the postseason. I do think the Yankees are going to win the American League, win the AL pennant for the second consecutive year. I don't think they're good enough to win the World Series, and I do think that the Phillies, Dodgers, NLDS, I think the winner of that game will ultimately win the World Series.
Okay, so I do have a few bucks on the Phillies to win it all. So you think it's one of those two teams?
I do, and for what it's worth, the Dodgers are a slight favorite in the series against the Phillies. Dodgers minus 120, Phillies at even money. I think it's a toss-up series, and I think really the series will hinge on, can the Phillies get to the Dodgers bullpen? Because that's the weak part of the Dodgers lineup. Now, we saw, and I can be brief on this, Roki Sasaki, who is one of the Dodgers, like heralded, like international starting pitchers, Japanese starting pitchers, he closed game two against the Reds in the wild card round, and his stuff is absolutely filthy. So the Dodgers will use Sasaki in relief. Kershaw made the roster. He may come in relief. Maybe Tyler Glasnow pitches in relief. So the Dodgers are going to have to try some inventive things, right, because their actual like bullpen arms are not very good. So can they kind of make it by using starters as relievers? If they can, I think the Phillies will win the series and ultimately win the World Series. But if they do, I like the Dodgers, and I don't see who's standing in the Dodgers' way of winning a second consecutive World Series championship.
Nick, before we get into football, this is a discussion I've just had with buddies outside of work for the last couple of days while the Red Sox-Yankees series was happening. Does it feel like that rivalry has lost a little bit of juice? Like, there just aren't the characters in there that we used to have.
Yeah, I think the answer to that question is probably yes. And, you know, I can speak to this pretty intimately as a New Yorker and don't have to get like super right. in-depth into it. But, you know, what happened 20 years ago was kind of like a legendary situation, right? Because even think, you know, people will bring up 1978, right? Bucky Dent's homer, yep. Bucky bleeping Dent to make up a 14 and a half game deficit on the final day of the season at Fenway Park. You know, 1999, I was at game one at Yankee Stadium with my dad, Bernie Williams. It's a walk-off homer. The Yankees that destroy the Red Sox in that series and route to a second consecutive championship and third in 4 years. But really, you know, the moments in this rivalry, not few and far between, but what happened 20 years ago, like, may never happen again, right? With 2003, and the Marlins win the World Series, which is crazy. The Yankees and the Red Sox, I still don't know how the Yankees didn't win the World Series that year. But that ALCS was electric. I was at Game 7 for the Aaron Boone homer. And then, obviously, the Red Sox come back in 2004, where you may not see that again. So I actually think that we were collectively spoiled a little bit by what happened in those 2 years and then the ensuing years afterwards, like dealing with the aftermath of that. Now we'll see if we can kind of get back to it a little bit. And maybe Schlittler is the guy to make that happen. As a Massachusetts kid who grew up a Red Sox fan, who had to listen to Red Sox fans heckle his family at Fenway Park this summer, and then he said that post game yesterday that he loved sending the Red Sox home and shutting up all the Red Sox fans because of how they treated his family, and he grew up a Red Sox fan. So hopefully that gets some juice back in this rivalry, but tough to disagree that it's not what it was, you know, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago.
I would like that because it was awesome. I mean, I know I was a kid experiencing that, but I mean, that ALCS in 04, I know unfortunately it didn't work out for your Yankees that
time.
Yeah,
I hated it.
I think it's one of the best series in baseball history, the way that went.
It was really bad. But yes, objectively, a good baseball series for me personally, like absolutely brutal.
Talking to our guy Nick Costos from BetMGM. Nick, let's get to some of the NFL action this weekend. Another international game. The Vikings get to stay over on that side of the world. This time it's in London, not in Dublin, when they play the Browns. And Minnesota, a 3.5-point favorite based on what I'm looking at. Do you think that they get that a little bit more because they got to stay over there for a whole week? Does that play any sort of factor in that game?
Definitely. I think that's something that does play into the betting market here. That Minnesota has, I don't know if you want to call it like the travel advantage, but they do have a travel advantage here with their second international game, getting to stay in Europe, whereas the Browns obviously had to travel internationally this week. And the Browns will be starting rookie Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. Joe Flacco has been benched. And, you know, Donnie, I came on this show last week and I told you I liked the Steelers against Minnesota. I felt like they would get to Carson Wentz, force some turnovers. And they did. And the Vikings' offensive line injury certainly didn't help. And about an hour ago, the Vikings released their final injury report for Sunday. And they are down 3 starting offensive linemen and their backup center. So all the players that either missed the game last week pregame or got hurt during the game for Minnesota are out. That's right tackle Brian O'Neill, center Ryan Kelly, and the rookie first-round left guard Donovan Jackson. And once they were all out on Sunday, I know the Vikings in comeback mode, like, put some points up on the board. Like, the Steelers kicked their ass in the game. Like, we all watched the game. It was crazy that
55 minutes of dominance.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I bet the Steelers, and the fact that I had to sweat the end of the game was insane. Like, Pittsburgh authentically won the game. And, you know, I think the Steelers are better than the Browns. The Browns' defense right now is better than the Steelers' defense, and that front is ridiculous. I don't think the Vikings are going to be able to run the ball. Think about last week, and I know the Lions like beat the Browns by multiple possessions. David Montgomery couldn't get going on the ground. He's more of like a plotter, right? I think that's what we're going to see this week with Jordan Mason. I don't think Jordan Mason's going to have a good game. And then here comes the Browns pass rush against Carson Wentz, who's dying to turn the football over. I do like the Browns plus the points, Donnie, coming up on Sunday.
Looking around the rest of the AFC North, because we don't have any Steelers on Sunday, the Ravens, who will be without Lamar Jackson in this game against Houston. First, Nick, before you even dive into the game itself, have you seen, or when's the last time you have seen, a line move this much over an injury? Obviously, quarterback play is the most important thing in football, you know, especially in the 2020s and as the game continues to evolve. But it was what, like an 8 or 9 point Baltimore, you know, they were an 8 or 9 point favorite going in. And then the Lamar Jackson news came out, and now I'm looking at Houston minus 2.5. I mean, it has swung like 10 points.
Yeah, and not just 10 points through all the key numbers, through zero and out the other side. And it's not just Lamar. That's the thing. And Lamar's the most important. Like, and you're 100% right to mention him. It's way more than just Lamar. Like, Roquan Smith is out. Marlon Humphrey's out. Like, Kyle Hamilton didn't practice yesterday. Nate Wiggins has barely practiced this week. Chidobe Awuzie is not practicing. Like, the entire, all the good players on the team are hurt. So it is Lamar, but it's way more than just Lamar. Now, we'll see when the injury report comes out today. Like, is Ronnie Stanley going to play? Is Nate Wiggins going to play? Like, they desperately need him to play. Like, is Jaire Alexander going to be active in this game? He's been a healthy scratch since week one. What I can say is, because we're thinking about betting this game now, right, with the Texans a 2.5-point road favorite, favored by less than 3. If none of these guys go for Baltimore, I think the Ravens are the worst team in the league. Like, this iteration of Baltimore, with all these players out, I think is the worst team in the league. Now, maybe a couple of them end up playing. I still don't think they're very good. I actually think I may bet the Texans. I haven't yet. That's the side I'm leaning towards. And the other thing to consider, right, because Derrick Henry is healthy. The only way Derrick Henry is effective in games is if they're ahead. So, like, when they're trailing in these games, Justice Hill comes into the game. Like, you can't play Derrick Henry when you're down multiple scores. You can't use him in the passing game. So it's like he's rendered irrelevant because of everything that's happening around him. So I think the Ravens are up against it here. Now, next week, they host the Los Angeles Rams, and Lamar is unlikely to play in that game per the injury reports this week.
Yep.
They could very well be 1-5 going into the bye and be in a huge spot of trouble as far as making the playoffs are concerned. If I had to bet the game right now, Donnie, and I don't, I want to see what the rest of the injury report has to hold, I would only bet the Houston Texans.
So, Nick, going along those lines, because we just had this talk last week and you and I both agreed, we said, well, you know, if the Ravens fall to 1-3, the next move I'm going to make is betting on them to win the AFC North. Now that we have that game behind us, we have a whole bunch of injuries added to the docket for Baltimore. How is that market starting to look for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who you are high on this year, Nick, to win the division for the first time since 2020?
Yeah, obviously, like when we had that conversation last week, we were assuming Lamar was going to play and the Ravens would be huge favorites against the Texans. And now they're underdogs, so that kind of goes out the window. So it may surprise people to hear that the Ravens are still favored right now to win the AFC North, despite being a full 2 games behind the Steelers right now, Pittsburgh 3-1 at the bye. Baltimore minus 135, the Steelers plus 175. Now, if you believe the betting market and that the betting market will yield like the most likely result, assuming Lamar does not play next week, and I think that is a fair assumption, the Ravens are going to be underdogs in both games, which means they're likely to lose both games. So Baltimore could be 1-5. Right? That's actually the most likely outcome, is that the Ravens are 1-5 in a couple weeks. The thing is with Baltimore, when the Ravens come out of their bye, and it's a very advantageous bye in week 7, because presumably Lamar will be healthy coming out of it, Roquan will be healthy, Marlon Humphrey, we'll see, but that's the presumption right now. I'm just going to read these games off, right? Home Bears, likely win. At the Dolphins, likely win. At the Vikings, with either J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, likely win. At the Browns, likely win. Home Jets, likely win. Home Bengals, likely win. Home Steelers, likely win. At Jake Browning and Cincy, likely win. Home New England, likely win. And then we get to the final 2 weeks, at Green Bay and at Pittsburgh, and maybe they lose one or both of those games. So I don't know if the Ravens are definitely going to win the division, but I do think Baltimore's still a playoff team. And that's a bet that I'm willing to make, Donnie. If they lose the next 2 games and they're 1-5, assuming that Lamar and everybody comes back, they should rattle off like 7 or 8 wins in a row coming out of the bye. And I still think they'll be a playoff team in the AFC.
Yeah, so that was a point that I've been making pretty much all week, that, you know, they have the hardest part of their schedule gone. I mean, they have lost to 3 Super Bowl contenders. And if Lamar is healthy coming out of the bye, I do think they could kind of run the table and go like 8-2 or whatever it would be, or possibly even 9-1. That's been the point I've made, where like, okay, I want to be excited about the Steelers winning the division, but I don't think they're out of the woods yet, because if they stub their toe, the Ravens could easily catch them. We've seen it the last, you know, few years. We saw it just last year. The Steelers had a nice lead.
Now, let's just to be clear about this, right? So I'm making it sound like if the Ravens are 1-5, and again, that's the most likely outcome right now. I'm making it sound like they're just going to roll out of bed and win a million games down the stretch. And like that could happen. But I mean, 1-5 is 1-5. So if we get there in a couple weeks and the Steelers' next opponent, let me see here. Do you know who Pittsburgh has next week? I have it right up.
So they have the Browns next Sunday, and then they have Cincy on a Thursday night on the road after that.
Like the Steelers should be 5-1.
Yeah.
In the next 2 weeks. If they're 5-1 and the Ravens are 1-5, like the Steelers are probably going to win the division. So, like, let's see how that where we're at in a couple weeks here. The Ravens should be 1-5 and the Steelers should be 5-1. It doesn't mean that's going to happen, but that's the most likely scenario. And if they're up six games into the season, obviously still a ton of time left, that would be like an unbelievable collapse for Pittsburgh not to win the division.
At what point, Nick, do you think the Steelers could officially take over as the favorite to win it? Could it be as soon as after this Sunday's game, if Baltimore loses next week? You know, what do you think it could be?
I think if the Steelers are 4-1 and the Ravens are 1-5, Pittsburgh will be favored.
Okay, yeah, they're holding like a 3.5-game lead, and then they have that Thursday night game. That makes sense.
And listen, like maybe it's like close to even, like after this week, if the Ravens lose and the Steelers are on bye. That's possible as well.
Nick, before we let you go, that Bengals game against the Lions, that was coming into the season. They put that on 425, you know, national TV. We're going to get the Lions. We're going to get Joe Burrow. The Bengals are going to be that team this year that get a lot of games flexed out of big spots because of that injury. 10.5 points seems big, but man, are the Bengals looking lifeless. I think Detroit will crush them in this game.
Yeah, I would just say betting-wise, you could be right. I think Detroit will win the game. But I think if you were going to bet Detroit, like 10 is the number you want to try and bet with Detroit, as opposed to 10.5. At 10.5, it's no bet for me. Just something to consider here. And it can go the other way big time. And, you know, we watched the game on Monday night. It did look to me like Cincinnati quit a little bit, which doesn't mean like they, like the Dolphins quit in week 1 and then had a great performance. They lost, but like played way better in week 2. So it looked like the Bengals quit on Monday night against the Broncos. So of course you can understand why people think Detroit would kill them. Mm-hmm. Just one thing to keep in mind, the Lions injury report, they have a number of injuries in their secondary. Like one of their corners, Terry and Arnold, who's going to play, is not very good and has been picked on this season. If you wanted to build a case for a Jamar Chase and T. Higgins like breakout game with Jake Browning, I think that you'll have that game script to potential. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I'm just trying to present a contrarian argument here for Cincinnati potentially at the current number. 10.5 is a pass for me. I do think the Lions will win the game. I would not be surprised if this was the best game for Browning, Chase, and Higgins since Joe Burrow went down.
Nick, great stuff, man. We will talk to you again next Friday.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, Nick. That was awesome. There we go. That was the host of You Better You Bet, Nick Kostos, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary for all of your betting and sports talk needs. Check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Austin, I always like that segment in the middle of the show on Fridays with Nick, because we will end up making our picks in a little bit over an hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But I mean, I do always feel a little bit more enlightened to things before we get to that point. I should have kept note starting at the beginning of the year, and maybe it's something I can do next season, let's say, of how many times Nick has swayed me on picks that I'm about to make.
I would imagine probably a lot, right? Like, the inside is important. I was curious about that Bengals game because I need to pick it in my Sunday Monday league, and I'm thinking about ultimately picking against the Bengals. That at least makes me wonder a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They just looked so bad on Monday night, and they let a team put 48 points on them 2 weeks ago. The defense is brutal. I just think this is a game where the Lions, of all teams, a team that loves putting up 50-plus on people. Like, I feel like this will be like a 52-17 game or something. I think it'll be ugly in Cincy. Like, I think this could be the point where Cincy is like, okay, if we want any prayer after this game, we are still 2-3. We are not completely dead yet, but if we keep going with Jake Browning, we will be. I think the game Sunday will force them into making a quarterback trade.
Well, and I mean, think about this, though. They're going to play the Steelers on a short week, so they really have no choice, unless they would have made the deal earlier this week, to go with Browning for this game and to go with Browning for the Thursday night game. Or, no, I guess they would have an extra week then. So you think that they could make a trade and then have somebody ready before that Thursday night game against the Steelers?
I mean, they could. It always depends on who it is, I guess. I mean, but I would be calling. I know we brought it up before, but man, I mean, you got to call the Giants, right? Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, one of those two guys. If the Giants are going to play Jackson Dart, I just don't see the point of having both of those guys on your roster, especially when there's going to be a team that's desperate and wanting to give you a call. I mean, I know that it seems like Russell Wilson is officially at the end of the line here, but I mean, I think in that offense, he could give them something with their receivers that Jake Browning clearly can't.
If you could pick one quarterback to win you a game, would you take Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins?
Honestly, I would take Russ, I think.
Really?
I feel like Kirk. Now, we haven't seen Kirk Cousins in, what, almost, well, not a full season, but when did he get benched last year? Like week 14?
Yeah, it was very late in the season.
I mean, I liked Kirk Cousins for a while, but I don't know, man. I feel like there's at least that one game thing with Russ where we can just see him pop off a little bit. Now, he can immediately have a horrible game after that. We saw that already this year. He had 400-yard game against the Cowboys, followed up with just a putrid effort against the Chiefs. But I don't know. I think there's like at least an element there with Russ. He just wings the ball down the field. And if you're a team like the Bengals who have receivers like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, I feel like it gives you some sort of prayer.
Well, yeah, and I just wonder how much Kirk Cousins still has left in his arm strength, especially after the injury that he suffered last year. We know that people are calling Aaron Rodgers a statue. Kirk Cousins legitimately cannot move in the pocket. Maybe because Moonball Russ can still dial it up a little bit, I would go with Russ. But I'm at least still intrigued to see what Kirk Cousins has in the tank.
Yeah, my thing there is that how many teams could have, I mean, unless the Falcons want to cover a lot of that money, I don't know how many teams would find that contract attractive, whereas Russ is just on like a one-year prove-it deal. Like his deal was mostly incentive-laden with New York. So, I mean, that's when you can get at a much cheaper price.
I mean, there would have to be significant eating of the contract from Atlanta to get that done. And I'm sure the Falcons, I don't know if it would be 50-50 or if they take 60% of the contract. Why not? Because you're not even playing Cousins. You are committed to Michael Penix. He's your guy unless there's an injury. Why wouldn't you want to move off of even part of that money if you're Atlanta? So Cincinnati, obviously, with the amount of money that they've put on their offense, and especially to Burrow, is not going to want to take a lot of it. But if it's a 50-50 split and then you can move off of Cousins next year, I would at least consider.
Yeah, I mean, but I would say let's put it this way, too, when it comes to what the Steelers have coming down the line. So they are 13 days away from that Thursday night game. Would you be more worried about that game if it was Jake Browning, Kirk Cousins, or Russell Wilson starting at quarterback for Cincinnati?
Honestly, probably Russ because of the revenge factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there's that. But also, like, I just think with those receivers, those guys can make plays that not many players can do. I mean, I still think Jamar Chase, he and Justin Jefferson for me are 1A and 1B.
Yeah, Russ can get him the ball. Similar to how he got Malik Nabers the ball. Nabers was a fantasy darling until he got hurt and crushed my fantasy team.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that's an easy answer. If they keep running it with Jake Browning, they are waving the white flag on their season. So they're in an interesting spot.
Fake Johnny Robinson tweets at us, Bengals should make a call to go all in for Kenny Pickett. He'd be ready for next Thursday. Talk about revenge factor, Fake John.
Man, that would be what, like the fifth time he's been traded? Would it be five?
I think it would be, regardless of what it is going to be, it will be the most all-time for a player being traded.
I mean, traded from the Steelers to the Eagles, traded from the Eagles to the Browns, traded from the Browns to the
Raiders.
Okay, it would be the fourth time. And he never officially played a game with the Browns, and he has not officially played a game with the Raiders. I don't know if he got in any garbage time snaps.
Let's say hypothetically that Kenny Pickett made the Hall of Fame. Okay, bear with me for a second. Hypothetically, would Cleveland Browns be on his plaque? Like, when you write out your resume at the end of the year, or these are the accolades of Kenny Pickett, how many teams did he play for? Like, you see the Browns jersey shirt. Is Kenny Pickett on that?
My ruling with that, my feeling is that you had to have suited up in a regular season game.
Okay.
Which he never did. So, like, that one shouldn't count.
Did Tim Tebow ever play a regular season game with the Patriots?
That's a good question.
When he was playing, like, backup quarterback and tight end.
Right. Like, they may have used him at, like, H-back and stuff. Maybe. I can't remember. I know they did that with the Jets. Good question. All right, Limits. We have a Bechtold breakdown coming up next. Maybe preview a couple of the things that we will get into.
Yeah, Donnie, there's a couple of different things. A couple of things around baseball that are making note, including another award for Paul Skeens. What a surprise. Plus, we have an update on what's going on with the Ravens and their injury concern. Plus, Sportsline has put out the percentage playoff odds for each team, and you will be very surprised where the Pittsburgh Steelers sit on this list.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each and every Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@937thefan.com to drop your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. You hear that music? It is a Friday just after 12:30. Donnie Football with you from Studio B, Bowser Chevy in Monroeville until 2 o'clock. Austin Bechtold is back behind the glass in Green Tree, and that music means it is time for a Bechtold breakdown. Austin,
it is indeed, Donnie, and the Bechtold breakdown is brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating. Our wonderful friend Jake, give him a call at Southside Plumbing and Heating for all of your plumbing and heating needs. So, Donnie, the Pirates have announced that Paul Skeens has been named the Baseball Digest MLB Pitcher of the Year. I found this fascinating because it wasn't Scooble or it wasn't Garrett Crochet. Paul Skeens, despite a 10-10 record, a dominant year, an ERA under 2, he's the one that ultimately ends up being the Baseball Digest MLB Pitcher of the Year. But one of the main things I wanted to get into with this, I saw something floating around on Twitter earlier this morning. And it was, oh, could you imagine these baseball teams? They play 162 games, and the season ends in a 48-72-hour span. Have you met the 2015 Pittsburgh Pirates, who won 98 games during the 2015 season, lost to a buzzsaw in Jake Arrieta? Donnie, in my heart of hearts, I will take it for the rest of my life. I truly believe if there was a three-game series like there is now, the Pirates would have won it in Game 2 and Game 3 and went on to win the World Series in 2015.
Yeah, I actually feel pretty strongly about that, too, because the Cubs had Arrieta, But now I want to pull up, like, who else they would have had on that 2015 staff.
I think John Lester was still there. They went Kyle Hendricks.
The only guy that scared me, though, was Arrieta, which, I mean, I still wonder, you know, he had the, like, one or two, like, massive seasons. He also looked a lot bigger than he normally was. But, you know, I'm a Barry Bonds guy, so who am I to throw stones? I just felt like they didn't have somebody that really put fear into me. Yeah, so they had Lester, who on the season, he had a 3.34 ERA, so pretty good. Hendricks was just below 4. Lester was a 2.8 WAR player. Hendricks was 1.6. I mean, the bullpen didn't blow me away. Rondon had 30 saves that season, but Arrieta was just so far and away their best guy. I mean, he had 4 complete games. He had 3 shutouts. He had the no-hitter that year. He was 22-6. With a 1.77 ERA. I mean, he was phenomenal. We just never really saw that again from him. But I agree with you. If they took it to a 3-game series, I like the Pirates' chances to win because you would only get Arrieta for that one game.
Right.
They would have had to do, Joe Maddon would have had to do something that we've never seen in baseball if he wanted to find a way to sprinkle Arrieta into every game, but that would never happen. You know, this isn't like 1920 anymore. They would have had Arrieta for the one game, and then I think the Pirates would have had the advantage in the other two because they would have thrown like A.J. Burnett at them in the second game, probably Frankie Liriano.
You had to start
in the third game.
J-Hap had to have gotten the ball in one of those games.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I forgot. That was the J-Hap year. He probably should have started that one gamer against the Cubs for how good he was down the stretch. Yeah, I mean, the Pirates had the pitching advantage outside of the ace of the staff. And that's just what so happened to, you know, be the most important thing. It's kind of funny, Austin. A quick shout here to my buddy Drew Brown, who does phenomenal work for Sportsnet Pittsburgh. He's the guy that puts all of the, like, Pirates video montages together. So all of the cool videos that you see, like, before a game. And then he put together, like, their end of season video as well. That was really good. He did a presentation in college. Another Waynesburg guy, Austin. We were roommates, Drew and I were. He did a presentation in one of our public speaking classes about the one game wild card and why Major League Baseball had to turn it into a 3-game series.
That's incredible.
He did this right after the 2015 game. So it was either our freshman or sophomore year. I don't know if he waited a year on it before he did the presentation. And then lo and behold, we get to COVID a few years after the fact. And here we are, a new playoff format. It is a 3-game series. And I think that would have helped the Pirates in 2015. I don't know if I could say as much about 2014 against the Giants. But I have always felt that if the Pirates had 2 more cracks at the Cubs in 2015, that they would have won that series. It really was a shame. The NL Central was so good that year.
Oh, dominant.
3 of the best teams in baseball. The Cardinals, what, won?
They won 100 games.
One or 100. The Pirates won 98 and the Cubs won 97. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, you had 2 teams that the Pirates bludgeoned during the regular season. That never sat well with me. And I know the Mets made it to the World Series that year. The Pirates went 7-0 against them that season. They dominated them.
They did, and they dominated them throughout those runs in 13, 14, 15. The Jay Hay rundown game, games at PNC Park. I remember going like every Friday night they played the Mets, and they would just smoke the Mets every single instance, every occasion. But that is now water under my metaphorical bridge. That makes me sad. All right, did you see that Ichiro suited up for the Mariners in their inter-squad scrimmage? Did you see the Phillies had 31,000 fans at their scrimmage? Donnie, first and foremost, when did baseball start doing these inter-squad scrimmages for the teams that received an automatic bye to the divisional round? And what do you make of it? I think this is incredible.
So they just did this the other day, you're telling me.
Correct.
And now, did they have, was Ichiro the only guy that was like an alum of the team that came back and played, or did the Phillies do that too?
Well, no, I don't think the Phillies did. Like, the Mariners had Ichiro and then mostly their entire lineup. Like, okay. Ichiro's 51 going out there and playing in right field. for the home roster with Cal Raleigh, Cole Young from North Allegheny, Julio Rodriguez, and others just getting ready to go. But Philadelphia, too, they packed their ballpark. They sold tickets for it. They got 31,000 in the ballpark to watch the team play against each other.
I have always been impressed by Philadelphia fans. I know they get such a bad rap, and I know that in this town we are supposed to hate them so much, Austin. Philly has maybe the best, like, overall fan base on this side of the country. Like, all of their sports, I know that, you know, basketball and hockey, they have down years. I mean, their hockey team hasn't won anything in 50 years. But, I mean, in football and in baseball, they've impressed me. And I know they've had a lot to cheer for. But even in baseball, like, down years, you'll watch a game just randomly. You know, maybe MLB Network has, like, a Thursday afternoon game. You'll toss it on. They'll be playing in Philly. And they just have like 35,000 at the ballpark. And I mean, the team may not even be all that good in years past. And you know, they're packing the place in. Like, and I have heard, you know, Noah Hiles has told me this before. He said there's probably no atmosphere that feels more like a playoff game, no matter who the team is playing, better than Philly. Like, anytime it's Pirates, Phillies, it's packed. Pirate or Phillies, Rockies. It's packed. No matter who the Phillies play, the fans make it feel like it is a big deal and like a big game, which I can respect.
Well,
I wish we had that.
I would kind of hope that's the case. They have double the people that we have. I mean, they're a top five market in the country.
I get that, but I mean, I think it also shows when you put consistently good baseball out there for a long time that they just pack them in really no matter what.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they do. They create a great atmosphere. Like, when Duran, their closer, comes out to that intro that they have for him, similar to how the Pirates had Bednar's, and they black out the lights, and they do a light show with it. It is epic. Like, remember when, I think it was Bryson Stott would come up to the plate, and they'd be playing like, "Ayo, ayo, okay," and the whole entire stadium would be cheering it? Or how they rallied around Trey Turner, who was struggling at times. It's a passionate fan base. I don't root for Philly in anything. I just, you know, I am one of those people that do not root for the other side of the state, similar to like how I don't want Cleveland to win, even though I was rooting for the Guardians in this last series.
I mean, Philly, it's awesome to watch them in the playoffs. I think the fans certainly play into it, but man, that team every single year, I mean, it's probably the biggest reason why I bet on them to win the World Series and actually put some, you know, money where my mouth was there, because every year that team shows up in October. Maybe they're not the best team in the league, but man, they come up in big moments every single time. Schwarber, Harper. I mean, you go down the line. You said some of the other names too. They are just fun to watch when you get to the postseason.
Here are FanDuel's Heisman odds right now. The number one choice right now, number one guy, according to FanDuel, is, would you like to take a guess, Donnie?
Ooh, honestly, is it like Mendoza?
It is not. He is a little bit further down the list. He is currently 6 at plus 1,400. Dante Moore at plus 600 is the current favorite to win the Heisman, the quarterback from Oregon. And right now, I would say that is a really good pick.
I know we talked about that game on Monday, Austin, and on Tuesday a little bit. That kid really impressed me on Saturday night. I know you were in the building, but we hear so much, and for good reason, how much the whiteout and that atmosphere can affect opposing teams and opposing quarterbacks, and how a guy could come in there. He's never seen a crowd like that before. He's never dealt with noise to that level before. And I'm sure that, you know, many people thought like, oh, this is going to really affect this kid, and Penn State's going to win the football game. Like, you know, Dante Moore's never played in front of 111,000 plus people, and, you know, everybody's wearing white and whatever. That kid never changed the look on his face for like 4 hours.
The list
on
is
Saturday night.
Full of quarterbacks. Jeremiah Smith is currently fourth. Tied for third, actually, with Carson Beck at plus 1,000 odds. What do you make of that, your wide receiver at Ohio State?
Oh, I mean, he's probably the best individual player in college football. It's just tough. you know, that he can't always dictate his own terms as a receiver the same way that a quarterback can. I think that kid has an opportunity to be the next wide receiver taken first overall in a draft. And I know people thought that about Marvin Harrison Jr. for a little bit, that he could go one overall. I think Jeremiah Smith has a really good shot. And I think it's been, what, 30 years? Keyshawn Johnson in 1995 was the last time that happened. That kid is remarkably good at football. Like, it's almost hard to think that that kid once played at, like, a middle school and high school level, like, what he would have looked like out there against, you know, people like us, like, just, like, normal, like, run-of-the-mill high school athletes. It's amazing how good that kid is at the level that he plays at.
Last one, Donnie. So, reports out of Baltimore. Lamar Jackson did not practice. Kyle Hamilton did not practice for the Ravens. They are playing against the Houston Texans this week. Cooper Rush is their backup. Sportsline in their simulations now gives the Steelers an 85% chance to make the playoffs. That's the second best odds behind only the Buffalo Bills at 99.9%. So the Steelers, who could be looking at a Ravens team that's currently at 48% odds, that could be 1-5. Steelers playing the Browns off a bye. Thursday night against Cincinnati, against Jake Browning, who they might ultimately replace in a week. Things are just looking rosy for the Steelers right now. 85% chance to make the playoffs. That's not the division, just the playoffs. I would pound the table for that right now. I think it's close to automatic that the Steelers are going to make the playoffs.
Before I dive into that, I do want to tell people that the 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Oak Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. So 85%, you're saying?
85%, according to Sportsline.
The only team ahead of them is the Buffalo Bills, who will run away with that division and probably lock it up by like mid-November, maybe by Thanksgiving, which I think they did last year as well. I mean, the way that they started out and the way the division looks, it's hard to argue that. I do still feel really good about them making the playoffs. I don't know if I'm completely sold on them winning the AFC North. I mean, I would love it if they did. I mean, we haven't gotten to experience a home playoff game with fans in the crowd since the 2017 season. The COVID year was when they last won the division, and what, they let like 1,000 people in the stadium that night, if that. I mean, we have an opportunity as fans to witness a home Steelers playoff game for the first time in almost a decade. Now, I do think that adds a little bit of pressure to them to win the game if they do get there. I feel really good about it, though, like them making the playoffs, being one of those seven teams in the AFC. It's kind of hard not to, because things are breaking their way. Like, I think they're a pretty good team, but they are getting a little bit lucky. I think it's a good mix of both.
Well, and think about it from this perspective. The Patriots, they looked awful. Or they've looked awful at times this year. They've also looked pretty good this year. And I think Drake May is a quarterback that we're going to be talking about for a long time. So that's one of the teams that the Steelers are going to be competing with in the wild card. Cincinnati, you can drop them out. Denver has had their struggles. Sure, they just crushed Cincinnati. But it's only going to be Buffalo coming out of the East. The North is either going to be the Steelers or the Ravens, I would imagine. The South, I think, is only going to get one team, maybe two. Jacksonville's going to threaten. Will they hold on? Will the Colts hold on? They'll beat each other up as well. The West is the real division that could steal a wild card off of somebody, because I think the Chargers will win the division, and then it'll be the Chiefs will probably end up getting in, but it'll be them and the Broncos jostling for a position there. Ultimately, I think they'll make it.
Yeah, so I actually wouldn't change any of the playoff teams that I picked in the AFC that I had going into the season. I had the Bills winning the East. I mean, that's kind of an easy one. I had nobody else from that division making it. I had the Ravens winning the North with the Steelers as a wild card team. Then in the South, I had the Jags winning that division, which right now they're even with the Colts, and you know, maybe they'll leapfrog each other during the year, or you know, something will happen where Daniel Jones and all of that good play kind of runs out. And then in the West, I had three teams getting in. I think the Chiefs can still win that division. And then I had the Chargers and the Broncos as the next two wild card teams. I feel pretty good a quarter of the way through that all of those teams can and will still make it. Even the Ravens, who maybe not win the division now, given their start, but they are going to be a team that a lot of people want to bury if they start 1-5 that I think can absolutely rise up and still make it by the time we reach week 18.
Yeah, they could definitely do it with just the schedule that Costos was laying out as well. They play a bunch of it's kind of backwards to the Steelers schedule. You know, the Steelers played a lot of the easier games early. Sure, they'll have Miami thrown in there later on in the year. But the Ravens just had Murderer's Row at the very start of the season. And at the end of the year, that's when it's going to get difficult when this rubber meets the road. And here comes Buffalo to town. Oh, you have to go to the Lions. Not going to be easy.
Yeah, they will be. The Ravens will be favored if Lamar Jackson is healthy in almost every one of those games. There's probably one or two where they wouldn't, or it'll be close to a pick 'em. I think they will be favored in almost every game they have after the bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.